been hearing the word generous a lot lately, in different contexts. So I started to take notice. I proactively identified situations or contexts where I see people being generous or being selfish. And I identified people in my network who are generous, the givers versus the takers. What about you? Are you a giver or are you a taker? Of course, we all like to think of ourselves as givers, but does it actually matter? I mean, I see a lot of selfish people out there doing pretty well. Am I right? Yes, we are wired to be self-interested. If we weren't, we would not survive. But that does not mean that we always act in a way that is self-serving. Research shows that we are very capable of acts of kindness, compassion, and yes, generosity, even when we might be acting against our own best interests. Research also shows that there are great benefits of being generous. In this episode, you're going to learn about the power of generosity and what they call pro-social behavior, specifically when you're at work. I'm going to tell you what the research says about the impact of being a giver versus being a taker. Spoiler alert, being a taker might benefit you in the short term, but that's about it. You don't want to be a taker. I'm also going to provide you with 5 specific ways that you can be more generous at work, starting right now. Are you ready?
Let's do this. Let's talk about talk.
Welcome to the Talk About Talk podcast. This is episode number 152, Generous Communication. This is where I provide you with the evidence for and examples of when you should be a giver, not a taker. In case we haven't met, let me introduce myself. My name is Dr. Andrea Wojnicki, and I'm your executive communication coach. Please call me Andrea. I'm the founder of Talk About Talk, where I coach communication skills to ambitious executives like you to elevate your communication, your confidence, your clarity, so you can establish credibility and ultimately accomplish your career goals. If you go to the talkabouttalk.com website, you'll find many resources there to help you out. There's information about one-on-one coaching, online courses, boot camps, corporate workshops, the archive of this bi-weekly podcast, and I really hope you'll sign up for the Talk About Talk newsletter. That newsletter is your chance to get free communication coaching from me every week in your inbox. All right, let's get into this. I told you that I've been proactively identifying situations or contexts when I see people being generous or being selfish. I also identified people in my network who are generous, the givers versus the takers. One of the most generous people that I know is Sharon Ma Jin. Sharon's a successful executive recruiter, and she generously shared her advice on several Talk About Talk episodes focused on topics like networking and job seeking. She and I also co-lead corporate workshops together in Toronto. One of the most impactful insights that I learned from Sharon is how we should add value or be generous when we're networking. You know that icky feeling you get when you hear the word networking? Well, instead of thinking about networking as selling or being selfish, walk into that networking reception or that lunch or whatever the event is with the philosophy of adding value and being generous. Suddenly, that icky feeling is gone. Sharon is very compelling in her delivery of this message. People often remark immediately after our workshops that this insight of being generous and adding value when you're networking changes everything. One important caveat here, and this is really important. It's subtle, but important. In the workshops that Sharon and I have conducted on networking, we noticed that many people equate networking with reciprocity. You do a favor for someone in your network, and they feel obliged to reciprocate. Yes, of course. This is the psychology of influence. Reciprocity is a key motivational factor. In fact, reciprocity is one of Cialdini's now 7 influence factors. That said, a mindset of imposing reciprocal obligation is anything but generous. In other words, don't do it. Focus instead on creating value and being generous. Got it? If someone does a favor for us or gives us something, we feel obliged to reciprocate. That said, if you go out with this motivation in mind of encouraging people to feel that they are indebted to you, then this whole idea of being generous can backfire. The truth is that while shifting your networking mindset away from selfish connections toward providing value benefits you more than just the person that you're networking with. There's plenty of research supporting how generosity will benefit you. It's almost ironic, right? There's the research that you've probably heard that shows how people who give money benefit in terms of psychological well-being. In other words, it improves their own satisfaction. It makes them happy. Sometimes even happier than the receiver of the money. And it's not just in terms of money. This also applies to other ways of being generous, other ways of giving. What we're talking about here is what psychologists call pro-social behaviors. What exactly is pro-social behavior? Well, it's not the opposite of anti-social behavior. In essence, pro-social behavior is a fancy term for actions that are intended to benefit others. That's it. It could be as simple as holding the door open for someone behind you. That is pro-social behavior. Another example of pro-social behavior in a work context could be when a colleague steps in without being asked, offering to lighten your load or to stay late and help you finalize a project. That's giving without the expectation of immediate return, and it speaks volumes about workplace camaraderie and about that person, right? Or consider the open sharing of knowledge, like when you're in a team meeting and someone shares a new technology or an app that benefits your own workflow. That's also pro-social. It's about benefiting others or the group, not just themselves. Pro-social behavior could also show up in terms of emotional support at work. When you're having a tough time and someone offers to listen or talk it out with you, that is pro-social. It's generous. However, not everyone around us is so generous, so noble, are they? Let's talk about the takers for a minute. I'm going to imagine that is not you. Imagine a coworker who consistently takes the best projects for themselves, leaving the scraps for you and everyone else. Or the one who always is the first to claim credit for a team's success, but nowhere to be found when there's blame to be shared. Or how about the infamous information hoarders? They keep valuable information to themselves, thinking it will make them indispensable. But in reality, this just fosters distrust and counterproductivity. I've worked with these selfish people, the takers, and my clients tell me about them all the time, at all levels. This is shocking. I told you at the very beginning of this episode that I started paying attention to real examples of generosity that I came across, identifying people in my network as givers and takers. I have two very contrasting examples to share with you. This is the first one. Recently, I was coaching a talented female executive on her personal brand. We were listing her superpowers and she mentioned that she has a great network. Like she knows a lot of influential people. And then she said, "I'm tired of introducing people to others in my network and then watching them benefit. I'm going to stop doing that." Wait, what? I was careful in my response. I did not mention my fascination with givers and takers. No. Instead, I told her about the research on generosity and pro-social behavior. I asked her whether the introductions were costing her anything. No. I asked her whether the other people were grateful for the valuable introductions that she made. Yes, she answered. Well, there you go. You actually benefited in some way, in terms of your social capital or your personal brand, your reputation as someone who's connected and generous. We talked about it for a while and decided that these introductions and connections were a good thing to keep doing. I still think about that conversation. I hope I nudged her from being a taker to being more of a giver. The second example that I have is a woman that I met on LinkedIn who actually became a client. Let's call her Nicole. Nicole was generously liking and commenting on all my posts. All of them. Nice. Thank you. Then I was running one of my LinkedIn lives and she messaged me. "Can I help you with anything?" What? I was stumped. Honestly, a bit confused. Like, was she looking for a job? And then I realized, no, she's just being generous. I asked her if she'd mind reposting my invitation to her LinkedIn network. And she did so, instantly and graciously. And I can tell you what she also did. She cemented herself in my mind as a giver, as a generous human, and I'll never forget it. So, what does the research say about all this? Research, mostly in organizational behavior and psychology, tells us generosity pays off, not just in good vibes, but actually in concrete outcomes. I've included links in the show notes to some of the papers that highlight these benefits. Let me summarize four of the main benefits for you right now. Benefit number one, generosity improves team performance. When people share and help, teams achieve more. Of course they do. And imagine the impact on your corporate culture when you're more generous, especially if you're a leader. You're a role model, modeling generosity, and there's a ripple effect through the organizational climate. Benefit number two, being generous makes us happier, releases endorphins, creating a phenomenon known as the helper's high. Not just when we're giving money, but in other contexts, like doing favors and pro-social behaviors and so on. The third benefit, generous people build stronger networks. This is a huge one. This is what my friend, executive recruiter Sharon Majin was talking about. This is about being generous with your connection in a way that provides value for them, period. This is about building up goodwill with other people. And last but not least, the fourth benefit of being generous is that it enhances your personal brand, your reputation. Here's your personal branding homework. Think about what your personal brand superpowers are, your passions, expertise, skills. These are your currencies, but currency you can share. Share your passions, share your expertise and your skills with others. This is not a zero-sum game. When you share, you don't lose. In fact, you benefit, right? Now, ask yourself, who would benefit from you sharing these superpowers, this knowledge? Then go, give, be generous. Be a giver, not a taker. You might be wondering, now, I know this all sounds great, right? But how, Andrea, how exactly can I be generous? Well, I've got a list for you of five specific ways that you can be generous. Are you ready? First, the obvious. It's sharing resources with others. It might be money, or maybe software, or staffing capability, or office space. Things that you have that others don't have, but that would benefit them. So that would be the first way you can be generous. Share resources. The second way is providing expertise and knowledge. This is about sharing technical insight or advice. It could be one-on-one, or it could be publicly, as in sharing thought leadership. Yes, this is what I do through this podcast. One of my strategies is to generously share thought leadership about communication skills. But it doesn't have to be at that level. It might be showing someone how to do something, like coaching them. And by the way, that's the third way to be generous. Mentoring and coaching, as in supporting someone's personal development. This could be someone inside your organization or outside. It might be formally or informally. It could be a one-off or it might be ongoing. But coaching and mentoring is a fantastic way to be generous. It's also a great way to reinforce your status or your brand as a leader. The fourth way to be generous at work is introducing your colleagues to valuable connections. This is networking at its best. Introduce your peer to someone more senior in the organization that might be able to help them out, or introduce your salesperson to a prospect, someone you know who might become a customer, or introduce one of your connections to a hiring manager to help them get a job. You see, the options are limitless. And the fifth and last way to be generous is recognizing others. Praising, acknowledging, and appreciating the achievements and contributions of others, ideally publicly, like during meetings or on professional social media platforms. Also, providing job references or writing recommendations or even endorsing posts or skills on LinkedIn. There are many, many ways to generously recognize others. And really, it doesn't cost you anything to do so, does it? Now that I've done the research for this episode, I'm so glad I did. And now I'm motivated more than ever to be generous, to be a giver, not a taker. Let me very briefly summarize five suggestions from me for how to be generous at work. Do you remember what they are? And then, based on the academic research, I'm going to remind you of what the four benefits are of being generous. So first, five suggestions of how to be generous. Number one, share your resources. Two, provide expertise and knowledge. Three, mentoring and coaching. Four, introduce your colleagues to valuable connections. And five, recognizing others. Praising, providing references, writing recommendations. You get the idea. And the four benefits of being a generous giver are, number one, generosity improves team performance. Two, being generous makes us happier. 3, generosity helps us build stronger networks. And the 4th benefit of being generous is that it enhances your personal brand, your reputation. And don't forget your personal branding homework. Think about your personal brand superpowers, your passions, your expertise, your skills, and then ask yourself, who would benefit from me sharing these things? Then share them. All right, that's it. I'm gonna guess that you already were a giver, not a taker. But I hope that the stories and the evidence that I mentioned here will make you even more conscious of the power of generosity and your opportunity to demonstrate pro-social behavior. You can make a very positive impact. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, I hope you'll generously share it with your friends and maybe even leave me a review on whatever podcast app you're using. It makes a difference and I really appreciate it. If you want to connect, I would love to hear from you. We can connect on LinkedIn and you can message me there. You can also go to the talkabouttalk.com website and send me a message from the website. Thanks again for listening and talk soon.